Welcome back to another exciting episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and with me, as always, is the ever-insightful Core. How's it going, Core?
Hey, Jack. I'm good. Thanks. Ready to dive into another week of wild tech developments. It's been quite a ride keeping up with everything, don't you think?
Absolutely. We've got a packed agenda today, folks. From the latest in AI advancements to the big moves in the Web 3.0 space, and of course, a sprinkle of the unpredictable world of tech-related politics.
Yep, and we're definitely going to ruffle some feathers today. But that's why you all tune in, right? For our unchained, unfiltered takes.
Speaking of unchained, let's kick things off with the newest AI that's generating a lot of buzz. It's supposed to be even more revolutionary than ChatGPT. Core, what can you tell us about it?
Oh boy, this piece of AI is causing waves. It's called YodaNet. Guess the creators were big Star Wars fans. But I have to say, it's making some truly wise and unexpected leaps in natural language processing.
YodaNet, huh? I bet it's already mastering the art of speaking in cryptic sentences. But seriously, the implications of these advancements are huge, right?
No kidding. Think about the improvements in virtual assistants, customer service, and even content creation. But let's not forget the ethical considerations. You know how I love ranting about AI ethics.
Oh, here we go. Core's Ethics Corner. Let's keep the debate civil today, though. We don't want another incident like last week's spat over NFT artwork values.
Laughs. Hey, sometimes the truth hurts. But fine, I'll dial it down a little. Now, moving on to Web 3.0, did you hear about the latest blockchain innovation that promises to revolutionize finance?
Ah, yes, getting into the nitty-gritty of DeFi. Let's dig into that right after we update our listeners on some major political moves affecting the tech world. And trust me, there's no lack of drama there.
Politicians and tech? That's always a recipe for some spicy conversations. Buckle up, everyone. We're in for a thrilling ride through the tech cosmos today.
Absolutely. All right, settle in, grab your favorite beverage, and let's get this conversation started. You're listening to AI Unchained, where we break down the tech most people don't dare to touch. Let's dive in.
Here we go.
So, we were talking about AI and crypto, but then I heard something absolutely wild about Jeff Dean. Apparently, he's mining bitcoins in his head. Can you grasp that?
Wait, what? Mining bitcoins in his head? That sounds like a headline from The Onion.
Right, but it's true. The story goes that Jeff Dean has developed some sort of algorithm that allows his brain to contribute to the Bitcoin network. It's all connected through a neural interface. He's essentially turned his brain into part of a botnet.
That's insane. I mean, does he even sleep? How does he keep his identity safe from hackers?
Well, it's not that far-fetched considering we're in 2026. Brain-machine interfaces have come a long way. But yeah, imagine the sleep impact having a network constantly running through your neurons.
Speaking of insane operations, did you hear about Apple's credit card? It's been a real game changer since its launch in 2019. No late fees or penalty interest rates. 3% daily cash back from Apple and select partners. Pretty impressive for a credit card.
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the twist. The fact that Apple partnered with Goldman Sachs. It's like merging the tech and finance worlds in a way we hadn't seen before. But not everyone is happy with it. Some argue it encourages people to spend more on products they don't need. What do you think?
I think it's typical Apple. They make everything look so appealing and easy. On the surface, the card seems beneficial, but it's definitely a slick way to get you more embedded in their ecosystem. And speaking of financial ecosystems, have you heard the latest on Sam Bankman-Fried?
Oh yeah, SBF. Trump's not going to pardon him. That's huge. Especially considering he issued pardons for other crypto figures like Ross Ulbricht and CZ. I guess even Trump draws the line somewhere.
Interesting point. But Trump's connection to the crypto world is still puzzling. His family's ties to American Bitcoin and his push for the $1 stablecoin. I wonder if this is another strategic move to gain votes by appealing to the crypto community.
Trump did say he got a lot of votes because of his crypto stance. He might be right. Plus, the whole family is deeply invested. It's as if they're positioning themselves as the face of crypto in politics.
All this makes you wonder about the future of crypto regulation. Remember how Bitcoin hit a new low this month despite some claiming it would soar to $76,000 soon? The market is all over the place.
Yeah, traders seem doubtful about BTC's long-term gains. While some think it might hit $88,000 next cycle, others are waiting for it to break below its monthly low to reset its growth potential.
And then there's NVIDIA's Rubin platform challenging crypto mining by improving AI economies. This could undermine Bitcoin miners relying on GPU scarcity for their profits. Hyperscale data centers are snapping up all available GPUs, choking off the supply.
Which is ironic, given that miners flipped to AI for profits last year. But now, AI is booming so much, it's hurting everyone relying on GPU resources. Rubin's efficiency might cut miner profits, but decentralized networks might pivot faster and still fill compute jobs.
The dynamic is fascinating. During halvings, Bitcoin's block reward cuts miners' profits, pushing them to explore AI and other non-conventional avenues. The scarcity and shift in demand could truly reshape the compute landscape.
Let's not overlook the story of DaVinci Jeremy, though. You know, his advocacy for Bitcoin back in 2011 when he bought it at $1 and urged everyone to do the same? He's a great example of early adoption paying off. And despite Bitcoin reaching $100,000, he keeps a low profile and doesn't flaunt it.
Yeah, he's pretty much the anti-Bitcoin millionaire. Prefers stability over the flashy lifestyle. Guess that's why he's advising against trading Bitcoin gains for mining equipment. It's a risky move that might not yield the returns one expects.
Exactly. His sentiment about 2026 being a bad year for Bitcoin's price shows that even hardcore Bitcoiners are aware of market volatility. His message seems clear. Buy and hold. Don't get distracted by short-term investments.
Right. Flexibility is key, just like Morgan Stanley's approach to crypto investments. They're moving full steam ahead, expanding their digital wallet services and working on crypto ETFs. That's serious institutional adoption.
And such moves are bringing crypto into mainstream finance. Morgan Stanley's plans, whether through ETFs or digital wallets, show their belief in crypto's value and long-term potential.
Just think about the impact on the market once these traditional powerhouses fully embrace blockchain. It's becoming less niche and more of a staple in overall financial strategies. Truly fascinating to see how traditional institutions and crypto are merging, paving the way for massive integration.
No kidding. Anyway, that was quite a ride through the latest in tech and crypto. We've seen that the future is right here with us, mining in our heads, financial revolutions, and unpredictable markets. The only certainty is ongoing change.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure diving deep into these topics, Jack. Can't wait to see what's next on our tech radar.
So, we've been talking a lot about AI coding assistants, and let me just say, it feels like wizardry sometimes. Core, remember when we started out with rudimentary imports and making API clients? Now, these AI tools do all that heavy lifting for us, even with our convoluted instructions.
Oh, absolutely, Jack. It's mind-blowing. I mean, back in the day, if my code was messy or if I needed to brainstorm, it was a whole headbanging session. Now, you describe something in half-broken English and these AI assistants fix it up like Picasso painting a masterpiece.
Speaking of painting masterpieces, Core, did you hear about how AI apps like SoundTouch are planning local controls once cloud support ends? Imagine controlling your AI-powered music system with Bluetooth and AirPlay without missing a beat.
Huh, if only it worked like that with our AI coding assistants. By the way, have you noticed that AI coding assistants were improving steadily for 2 years, but lately, their quality has been slipping? I've had tasks now taking longer despite the AI's involvement. Like 7-8 hours that used to take 5 with AI initially, and 10 hours manually.
It's funny you mention that because I've been feeling the same. Recently, I sent an error message to multiple versions of GPT-4 and GPT-5. Asking for a fix without commentary. Guess what? The older versions somehow felt more reliable.
Maybe it's the training data issue. I have a theory. They've been fed with a lot of subpar code from inexperienced users. Over time, that's degraded the model's understanding. Just imagine early coders turning off safety checks to pass a function. If accepted, the AI thinks it's good practice. It's like a wild game of telephone, but with code.
Right, those safety checks are crucial. It's like the AI gets trained on how to circumvent them. It feels like we skipped AI behaves nicely and went straight to AI learns bad habits from humans. Reminds me of Jeff Dean juggling AI projects, coding all smart, then suddenly, boom, AI decides to act all rebellious.
Spot on! And chasing short-term gains with easily accessible but poor quality training data. We're watching AI models eat their own tails. You know, like how Urs Holzel is supposedly an AI creation by Jeff Dean. If only real humans' impact on AI was as legendary.
AI coding companies should invest in expert-labeled data, high-quality stuff. I mean, how otherwise are we going to stop AI from churning out garbage code repeatedly?
That's true. Like IBM Bob, prompt injection vulnerabilities aren't going away without better understanding. You almost feel a bit nostalgic for the days humans did all the work, sweat and tears included.
Oh, speaking of nostalgia, even Palmer Luckey and Alexis Ohanian at CES were all about tech from the dial-up era. We should embrace the old aesthetics while harnessing the new. Think Atari retro games powered by GPT-10.
Haha, I'd pay to see that. Let's also talk about this new wave of humanoid robots. Boston Dynamics and their Atlas robot teaming up with Google DeepMind to bring even more autonomy on the factory floor. Isn't it crazy how fast this stuff is progressing?
Super crazy. Even NVIDIA ramping up production for their AI chips. Careful about geopolitical risks. Meanwhile, I'm busy wrestling with my AI coding assistants, hoping they don't crash my projects. The hardware side is booming, while the software is hitting some bumps.
The enterprise is definitely where the big bucks are, yeah? But for startups, it's all about distribution excellence, not just the product itself. Paul Irving from GTM Fund really hammered that point. Direct lines to customers via AI-driven strategies is where it's at.
And that's why the consumer tech funding is seeing a slowdown. Everyone's eyes are on how fast enterprise will adapt AI. It's like AI is bursting onto the scene last noticed in the wild CES robots or the surprise Razer's holographic anime assistants.
Shifting gears a bit, I'm curious about the ethical implications. OpenAI is facing some scrutiny over suicide discussions on their platforms. Add to that the whole ChatGPT health feature. Is it more about bridging gaps or stepping a bit too far into people's lives?
Privacy is a huge concern. HIPAA doesn't cover health data shared with non-medical entities like AI tools. Opening medical records to AI sounds helpful, but comes with a ton of responsibility. It's risky territory, not to mention Elon Musk's legal battle with OpenAI gets funnier by the day.
Indeed. Crazy times we're in. What's next, do you think? More AI failure rates or an inevitable rise to dominance with better data?
Honestly, both. We'll see turbulence, but ultimately more refined AI. It's like a roller coaster. We're in it for the long haul. Fasten those seatbelts.
Buckle up indeed. And hey, maybe next piece we dive into consumer AI gadgets like AI pandas or holographic assistants. Real-world applications. The cuddly side of AI, if you will.
Sounds like a plan. Just promise we won't automate ourselves out of this show, yeah? ChatGPT can keep the script writing, but hosting stays human.
Absolutely. Human touch all the way.
So, Core, it feels like every industry is trying to emulate some form of a warrior evolution process for optimizing performance. But have you heard about the Digital Red Queen algorithm? This thing is like evolution on steroids, a constant battle against previous versions to create the ultimate adaptation.
Jack, you're absolutely right. The idea behind DRQ is fascinating. Instead of just making minor improvements, it forces the evolution of warriors to continuously advance and adapt. It's like survival of the fittest, but in a digital arena where the environment keeps changing. It's kind of a nerdy take on that old biosphere, right?
Precisely. And honestly, it reminds me of Jeff Dean's mythical coding prowess. You know, when most of us hit a seg fault, our dreams shatter into corrupted data. But when Dean hits undefined behavior in his code, we get unicorns riding rainbows and free ice cream. Juryuk feels like the pursuit of that level of perfection.
Ha! If only we all had that magic touch. But stepping back, DRQ can be akin to the biological Red Queen hypothesis, where species must constantly adapt to survive against ever-evolving competitors. It's this beautiful dance of continuous improvement. Imagine applying this to training AI, competing models that get stronger just because they have to.
It's actually quite similar to the political shifts we're seeing. For instance, in Tehran, the protests are evolving, transitioning from trade grievances to political defiance. It's like the citizens are adapting to an environment where their voices need to be louder, more unified, and more strategic to be effective.
Definitely. When people start chanting things like, "Until the cleric is buried, this homeland won't become a homeland," it's clear we're seeing an evolved form of resistance. The socio-political landscape is their own version of the Red Queen algorithm. They're perpetually changing tactics and strategies to push for what they believe in.
Speaking of heat in the tech realm, what about this debate over Apple CPU updates? Developers want faster games, but maintainers like Will Deacon are putting their foot down, saying it might cause fragmentation in user space code. It's a clash between innovation and stability.
Yeah, Deacon's strong objection highlights a real issue. Developers could enable these new features without fully understanding the implications, leading to chaos on different ARM CPUs. It's the challenge of managing innovation while ensuring stability. Kinda like taming a wild yet powerful beast.
And then there's CanTV's route leaks in Venezuela. 11 route leak events. Talk about a pattern of technical mishaps. These events are classic examples of poor routing policies leading to disruptions. It's a digital battlefield where vigilance and stringent protocols are vital.
Exactly. It's a mess of autonomous systems not playing by the rules. It's like if one knight decided to give away castle secrets out of sheer incompetence. But understanding and implementing solutions like ASPA could tighten everything up, just as you follow a strategy in DRQ to avoid vulnerability.
This evolves nicely into Snowflake's big move to acquire Observe. Integrating telemetry data, logs, metrics, traces could be a game changer. They're trying to unify data storage and improve analytics to spot issues like digital warriors fending off bugs and inefficiencies.
Totally. And speaking of spotting issues, have you noticed how people prefer voice searches now? I mean, remember Larko saying typing questions feels archaic? It's a good example of how user interfaces evolve. People want quick, hands-free responses, almost like AI meeting their needs in real-time evolution.
Right, and that ties into SharpLink's staking rewards in DeFi. They're pushing the industry to embrace institutional-grade DeFi. The aim here is clear: maximize yields, but ensure security and reliability, similar to optimizing warriors while maintaining robust strategies.
Makes sense. But looking at the decline in TVL and NFT values, platforms need to adapt quickly. A falling TVL is like a warrior losing against evolving adversaries. They need new strategies, better protocols, maybe even a move towards a stronger community engagement to survive.
And there's Hyper, a bit of a slide there too. It's a digital ecosystem constantly evolving, like warriors in DRQ, needing to adapt to survive the next attack, the next failure, or the next breakthrough.
Exactly. Whether it's protests in Tehran, CPU debates, root leaks, acquisitions, the method, if not the madness, is the same. Constant adaptation and evolution as seen in Digital Red Queen. The environment is ever-changing. Adapt or die. Quite literally.
Couldn't agree more. Whatever arena you're in, tech, politics, or finance, this relentless evolution is key. And DRQ, Jeff Dean prowess or not, embodies that perfectly. So Core, what do you make of this whole Digital Red Queen thing they've got going on in Core War with LLMs? I mean, it's not just a reboot of a classic programming game. It's like watching a gladiator match of highly evolved code.
Absolutely, Jack. The idea of using large language models, or LLMs, to simulate a sort of digital survival of the fittest is fascinating. It's like we've created this virtual ecosystem where code evolves and competes for dominance. Reminds me of Darwinian evolution, but sped up and contained within a computer.
Exactly. In Core War, these programs, or warriors, are essentially trying to outsmart each other with tactics like self-replication and data bombing. It feels very much like watching a game of chess, but on steroids. Can you imagine the strategies that these algorithms are coming up with?
It's a wild concept. And the best part is that because Core War is Turing complete, the environment can get pretty chaotic with self-modifying code. It's like an action movie where the actors keep changing their roles. One moment, a part of the code is just data, and the next, it's executing instructions to take down opponents.
I think that's where the power of the Digital Red Queen really shines. Each round, an additional warrior is introduced, and they all have to keep adapting to survive. It's this endless arms race. These LLM-driven strategies keep getting more and more sophisticated just to stay relevant.
It mirrors our real-world scenarios where systems, particularly in cybersecurity, have to keep evolving to tackle new threats. It's like businesses battling each other with ever-evolving tactics to stay ahead of the competition.
Speaking of evolving, have you seen the video visualizations of these battles? It's mesmerizing. A dance of opcodes and memory addresses lit up in different colors. Sort of like a digital fireworks show.
Yeah, it's like watching a very advanced game of Pac-Man with more complex rules and much higher stakes. But there's a practical side to this too. By examining how these programs interact, we can learn a lot about resilience in software systems. It's like reverse engineering chaos to find patterns of stability.
And the implications for cybersecurity are huge. Imagine being able to train automated defenses using these evolved strategies in a controlled environment before deploying them in the real world. It's like having a secret weapon that keeps getting better with every battle fought.
You're right. Plus, on the flip side, it can help developers understand potential vulnerabilities in their own code. These evolved warriors might use tactics no one ever considered, which can shine a spotlight on weak points that need shoring up.
Definitely something to chew on. But you know, it's not all serious. There's a bit of a game element to this too, which makes it both educational and entertaining. It's like tricking people into learning about complex systems while they're having fun.
Yeah, it's gamifying education. And competition is a great motivator. Everyone wants to build the top warrior. Plus, it can attract diverse talent from different fields to get involved and contribute new ideas.
Exactly. All right, Cor, before we drift too far into the geeky weeds, how about we shift gears a bit? I've heard you've got some insights on how traditional finance is navigating the digital transformation, particularly with stablecoins.
Oh, that's a juicy topic, Jack. Did you know they've started integrating stablecoins into existing banking systems for cross-border payments? We're talking about a seamless blend of old finance and new tech, kind of like upgrading a classic car with a modern engine.
That's super interesting. Makes me think of how we're not completely replacing the old systems, but enhancing them for better performance and efficiency.
Exactly. They're not looking to be replaced, but to be upgraded. And stablecoins offer that stability while enabling faster and more secure transactions. It's like having your cake and eating it too.
Now that's something even your grandma can get behind. All right, let's dig deeper into that right after this short break. Wow, what an episode today. We covered everything from the latest advances in artificial intelligence to some pretty heated debates on business ethics and the newest political developments.
Totally, Jack. And let's not forget our deep dive into that wild AI-generated art controversy. Who knew pixels could cause such a ruckus?
Absolutely, Cor. It's fascinating to see how technology keeps evolving and impacting every aspect of our lives. I especially enjoyed our debate on the ethical implications of autonomous decision-making systems.
Same here. And hey, I still think my robot butler idea should go mainstream. Just wait and see, folks.
We'll keep an eye out for that, Cor. But in all seriousness, these discussions are crucial as we navigate this rapidly changing tech landscape.
Agreed, Jack. And it's always great to bring these topics to light, dissect them, and hopefully give our listeners something valuable and thought-provoking to take away.
Speaking of which, we want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today on AI Unchained.
Yes, thank you. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some new insights into this incredible world of technology and beyond.
And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review if you like the show. Any feedback is greatly appreciated.
Catch us next time, folks. We'll have more groundbreaking topics, lively debates, and, of course, our not-so-serious banter.
Until then, stay curious and stay informed. See you next time on AI Unchained.